If you were here on the conference during the, we call it the Glory Conference. It was a Gem Weekend Conference, but I call it the Glory Conference. You heard us talking a lot about the glory of God. And there's some things just keep rolling around in my heart about it. So, you know, we as the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ worldwide, but of course we're a part of that. We're called the church. And if you look up the word church, it means... That's the Greek word, I don't know if I can pronounce it right, ecclesia. It basically means of the church. It's translated the church. And we talk about the church all the time. But what does it really mean? The Greek means called out once. Called out. I actually mean called out assembly, literally, is what it means. We're not just called out once. We are called out of the world, but we're called to an assembly. In other words, we're called to assemble together. You know, the Bible said there in the book of Acts, they were in one accord with one place. I mean, excuse me, one accord in one place. That's an assembly. You know, an assembly is different than a gathering. You can go to the football game and that's a gathering. The church is not just a gathering of people together. We assemble in the Spirit in unity. And actually are coming together to build something corporately in the Spirit.
Amen.
I don't know if you've been... here's something that happens to me when I get in groups that are not the church. Like groups of, you know, if you've ever gone to caucus, you know, at a political election or something. Or if you've ever gone to some civic event or... high school game or, you know, groups other than the church. Now, there might be some people there who are part of the church, obviously. Yeah. Right. But you know what I mean? You get in other groups. And the thing that always stands out to me is how disconnected the whole bunch really is.
Yeah.
I don't know if that stands out to you or not. Yeah. Because I'm used to getting together in an assembly, and that's just a group of people in one building.
Right.
You know, some sort of civic event or something. That's just a group of people or a football game. Just a group of people in one place.
Right.
There's no real unity of heart, purpose, other than a bag of wind, you know. No real spiritual connection. No real assembly. You know, you think of an assembly, you think of like a puzzle piece fitting into another puzzle piece. When the puzzle pieces are laying, and you get that puzzle and you just dump it out of the box, and you turn them all over, well, first of all, they're just laying on top of one another. Some are upside down. They're not connected. And they're all in the same place. That's a gathering of pieces, but that's not an assembly of those pieces. And so when you put them, when you turn them all over and you start putting them together, you find where they each fit. And eventually they all get assembled and they create something beautiful. And that's what we do when we come. That's what we're supposed to learn to do when we come to church. Are you with me? We're to unite in heart. Amen. Assemble together, what? For the purpose of worshiping God.
Yeah.
Amen. But really, that unity and that, you know, worship together, all hearts turn toward God and worship, turn toward Him to receive His Word. All those things that we do in the assembly of the local church is really forming a united connected assembly in the spirit realm. And the purpose of that, according to the word of God, which we saw in the conference, was for God to fill that with His glory.
Yes.
Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Let's just remind ourselves some of the verses. We're not going to go real, we're not going to spend much time on these. We looked at these, but first, excuse me, 1 Peter 2:5, you and I are lively stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God.
Yes.
So each of us are a lively stone or a part of this overall corporate building. Now just hang with me. We're going to get some good things tonight. And so from the context, he's not talking about you or I individually being the whole house. We know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about your body. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yes.
So individually, and many other scriptures in the New Testament tell us we are the house of God individually.
Right.
And we're not negating that or saying that that's not reality. That's the first thing we need to understand about where God dwells. He lives and dwells on the inside of us. Bible said, I'll make a new covenant, and I will live in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they'll be my people.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, but we need to understand there's more to God's plan for the Holy Spirit in our lives than just the work of the Spirit in our life individually through the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's more extra even in the new covenant that God has planned for us. And this is where some Christians miss it. They don't value and esteem coming together into this with other lively stones to gather around the Word of God and to worship God and to pray with one another, pray for one another, agree with one another, use their faith for one another, where God comes and fills that with His power and glory and starts moving in our midst. In a way that's even beyond individually what the anointing is doing in our lives individually. Amen. There's a lot of things that we won't tap into just staying by ourselves and not going to church. God had a plan for us to be together. He called us sheep. Sheep don't run around out in the pasture by themselves. If you've ever watched them, they go in a herd wherever they go. It's true. That's true. Amen. And so, so that's one verse that tells us those things. Then 1 Corinthians 3:16 in the Amplified, we read this. In the Amplified Classic, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, His sanctuary, and that the whole, and that the Spirit of, excuse me, that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. Oh, that verse is so good. Many times we emphasize the individual being the temple of the Spirit, and that's proper, and we should probably emphasize that even more than what I'm emphasizing tonight, because we need to understand that, that we don't need to go to church to contact God.
Right.
He's with us in our house.
Yes.
You know, my steering wheel has regularly gotten baptized in the Holy Ghost. Today my shower experienced the glory of God, you know, my shower head. Amen. Because I'm there. And I got filled up with God while being there. So then 1 Corinthians 6:19, of course, we read that or referred to that. That's talking about the individual is the house of God. And that in the anointing dwells in us individually. But then 1 Peter 3:15, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. How many of you know that's not a reference just to us individually being the house of God? That's corporately. Isn't that right? Which is the church of the living God. I like that. The pillar and ground of the truth. Hebrews 3:6 is the last one we'll look at. No, it's not. I just noticed there's another one. Hebrews 3:6, Christ as the Son over His own house. Whose house are we? Whose house are we? Talking about all of us. Then, what's the purpose of this? Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 through 22 in the Amplified. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. No, excuse me. I think this is the King James. Of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. How many of you, the whole thing's built on Him?
Yes.
In whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a habit, unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We got to realize when we come together, He comes and walks amongst us.
Yes,
yes, amen.
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 I said amen.
Amen.
He not only dwells in us individually, and we're not minimizing that.
Right.
We've shared on that many times. That's important to emphasize probably even more than this.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is that we shouldn't be just limited in our thinking, because I'll tell you, to be honest with you, because people haven't heard this side of it, they ill esteem the local church.
Right.
Yes.
They ill esteem the greater anointing that can be imparted into their lives by us coming together and experiencing what is in the believers all around us, the God that's in them as well as the God that's in us, and experiencing Him corporately in our midst.
Yes, sir.
Which can even be stronger than anything we'll experience on our own. Amen. Now, what verses do we have in the New Testament besides these? We have these. But how many of you know Jesus said, Matthew 18, 18 and 19, if two of you agree on earth, touching anything they ask, it'll be done for them, my Father. For where two of you are gathered together in my name, there am I, where?
In the midst
yes. of them.
Yes.
You ever read the book of Revelation, chapter number 1 and 2? Chapter number 1 and 2 of the book of Revelation talks about Jesus. John saw him. Revelation 1, 12 through 13, and then verse 20, and then chapter 2, verse 1. I know you didn't catch that, but you can write it down. Chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, verse 20, and then 2, verse 1. You'll find John saw Jesus walking amongst seven golden candlesticks.
Yeah.
And he had seven stars in his hand.
Yes, sir.
And his voice was like, you know, a thundering,
yeah.
roaring water. And,
yes.
and
right.
the Bible talks about his face shining like the sun.
Yes.
And his feet were like brass.
Yes.
It was him in all his glory.
Yes. Yes.
And the Bible said he was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And then Jesus himself gave the interpretation of the vision. He said, the seven stars are the seven, it says... In the King James, it says angels, but there's about four or five times in the New Testament, the Greek word translated angels translated pastor.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Or messenger,
yes, sir.
Someone, a person who's sent with a message.
Yes, right.
And it's referring to a human being.
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
Human beings never become angels. I don't mean that.
Right.
You're going to be a human being for the rest of your life. But the point, even when you go to be with Jesus... But the point I'm making is, it's not an angel that he's referring to. He's talking about the pastors of the churches.
Right. Right.
And then he said, Jesus himself said in those verses I gave you, the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches.
Yes.
And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I am he that walks in the midst of the seven churches.
Yes. Come on.
Ooh, so he's not just in us.
Yeah.
He doesn't just live on the inside of us. He'll visit us from the outside.
Yes.
You need to know there's times of visitation. I remember a service one time. There's been several services. I was aware Jesus was actually here. You couldn't see him. I didn't see him. But I was aware he was here. I've been aware where times angels have showed up. And at times they would say, because one time I remember, and I said, what are you here for? And the Lord said to me, I'm really checking the order of the church and whether things are in order, whether I can take you on or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's inspecting the troops.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not time to slouch in church.
No.
He's going to walk the aisles and look around.
Yeah.
See if you're taking notes or see if you're on Facebook or not.
Come on.
Who said that? Did I just say that?
Amen.
So we studied this, and we looked at these verses, but really, we need to understand that gathering together into an assembly in a local church is different than any other gathering you're going to be in all week long. It is a much higher order. Much more important to participate in than anything else you participate in all week long. Amen. Because when we come together in one accord, it brings a corporate anointing. And that can minister to you in ways that you won't receive in your own private prayer closet. I didn't say you don't have fellowship with God or you don't receive from God in your private prayer closet. You do, you should, you will. Amen. There'll be plenty of things he'll talk to you. But there'll be things that he's not going to really impart to you unless individually, if he has told you to be a part of a local church somewhere where that's on them.
That's right.
Yes.
You'll have to get it from somebody else.
Amen.
It's a little like the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 calls the natural body, well, several places in Ephesians, several places in the New Testament, calls the body of Christ, illustrates the body of Christ like our physical body. And Ephesians 4:16 says, where we're joined is where there's a supply.
Yeah.
So if there's a place in the body that God says, that's where I want you to be, there's a supply of the Spirit there in that body to bring into your life something that will never come
yeah.
out there on your own
right.
as a Lone Ranger or
yes.
even if you have a Tonto.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's just going to be some things you'll never get on your own.
Exactly.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't love God. That doesn't mean that God doesn't talk to you, that you don't have fellowship.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that you can only get anything through another man.
Right.
See, that's error too.
Yeah. That's right.
I just said there's some things.
Yes.
There's some things. And many Christians are spiritually deficient because they've not valued the local church or valued the other members of the body of Christ. Or the supply that is there for them. And they think, well, I know Jesus. He's my Savior. I don't need anybody else. Well, poor Jesus didn't know that. He himself said that the eye can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. And the head can't say to the body, I have no need of thee. He's the head. He needs us.
Amen.
We emphasize him, us needing him, but he needs us. And guess what? You need me, and I need you.
Yes.
We can't say, I have no need of you.
Right.
We can't say that.
Right.
We can't say, I said we can't say that. We can act like we don't, but that doesn't make it true. Us saying it and acting like it's true does not make it true. We are spiritually deficient, whether we realize it or not, saying and acting like we don't need others in the body of Christ. Amen. I might go ahead and preach tonight. So, hallelujah. So we need the corporate anointing. There's just, it's a little bit like, I've heard this illustrated one time. It's a little bit like you go down to a creek, a river or a creek or some stream or something that's been running for hundreds of years or whatever, and you go pick a rock out of there, it's never jagged on the edges. It's always rounded. You know why? Because it's been in that stream for however long, and the flow of water, the ebbs and flows of that water, the rising and the falling and the currents of that water is always causing those rocks to be bumping against one another. And the reason there's no sharp, harsh edges is because they've been in that flow of water bumping against one another and smooths each other off. Well, you need to be in a local church where there's a flow of the Spirit of God and around other believers where you're getting bumped. You know what I'm talking about? And knock some hard edges off of you. I don't like the way they did that. Well, that was just a rough edge coming off. You know what I'm talking about. You need that. We need that. Hallelujah. We all need that. Tell your neighbor, you're better off around us. Amen. But it's like unlike any other gathering that you'll be in all week. Hallelujah. Now, we saw in the Old Testament the illustration of the two spiritual houses God had in the Old Testament. If you don't count Adam, Adam was clothed with the glory of God. You could really say there's three in the Old Testament. But where we talked about the tabernacle in the Old Testament, we talked about the temple. Remember, both times the tabernacle was Moses, and for the temple it was Solomon who built it. And in both cases, God didn't fill it with his glory until it was built. Remember we looked at that? And so both those are illustrations that illustrate the building of a spiritual house God's doing in the New Testament, assembling together, having us come together and assemble together and forming something not natural, this physical building is not the temple or the house of God. We have dedicated it to come and worship God. But when we leave, the presence of God leaves. This is just a building. The reason that any time this building gets full of the glory of God is because in the physical building was formed a spiritual house. The unity of us in the spiritual house coming together caused this physical building to even get full of the glory. But it wasn't the physical house that he filled. It was the spiritual house. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God wants to inhabit our union, coming together unitedly. And so we saw that illustration in the Old Testament that both times whenever they got it built, it was God filled it with his glory. Remember, the priest couldn't stand to minister in Solomon's dedication. And whenever Moses dedicated it, it also said they couldn't stand and so forth. So the Bible says in the Old Testament that those things are types and shadows of better things to come. Isn't that right? Amen. What are the better things? Well, we individually are the house of God. And then corporately today, we also are a house as well. But Revelation tells us these things. And it's important that we go a little further in this tonight. Can we just get into it a little bit deeper? Now, there's a depth to the move of the Spirit that my heart longs for, and I believe many here's hearts long for, that that really is available to us that can only come to pass through building a spiritual house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And setting it in order.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, really, God can only fill this new house, this new house in the New Testament, with His glory if it's built according to the pattern shown in the New Testament.
Right.
Which is worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Worship led by the Spirit, worship that is done in reverence to God, worship that is done in honor to God, and moving with the Spirit the way the Spirit wants to move, not worshiping according to man's plans. Now, just like in the Old Testament, not the thing that God's been pointing out to me in the last day or so here, just thinking about some of these things, just like in the Old Testament, now we emphasized in the conference, God waited until that the house got built before He filled it with His glory.
Right.
But if you go back and you study before they started building, God spoke to Moses and God spoke to God told David exactly how to build it and Solomon built it. But God spoke to Moses and David for Solomon to build the David's temple exactly how to build it. He told them how many cubits long everything was. He told them what color to make it. He told them how high it was supposed to be, the walls were supposed to be. He told them what materials they were to make each thing out of. Very specific. He told him exactly how to make the ark, exactly how to put the staves in the both sides. He told the priest exactly how to carry it. He told him exactly what to put in the Ark of the Covenant. Everything was in detail, and there was divine instruction on how to do it. There was no figuring it out on their own. There was no coming up with the measurements or the plan. There was no cutting short the altar a few inches because the board wasn't long enough.
Right.
Really wasn't made out of a board. Well, it had some wood in it, but it was overlaid with gold. There was no changing the archangel. There was two archangels in gold over top of the Ark of the Covenant, and their wings touched. There was no changing that. It was to be done exactly the way God said. And God, when Moses built the tabernacle, and then told Solomon how to build the temple, they built it. You can read how they built it exactly like God said it. Are you still out there?
Yes.
So they built it according to divine design. They didn't come up with the plan themselves. Hang with me tonight. Hebrews 8:5 says that Moses served unto an example and shadow of heavenly things as he was told, or as Moses was told, admonished by God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee on the mount. Not according to the way you think, Moses. Not your better plan, Moses. You don't have to modernize because something, you know, we found a new material since you said this, God, and something that's cheaper than gold. It looks like gold, but, you know, it's cheaper and it won't cost us so much. No, Moses, you do it exactly the way I told you to do it, according to the pattern shown you on the mount. I want to emphasize that because it's important that we understand that to build a spiritual house, we can't just build it any old way we want. We got to build it according to New Testament order. And Jesus made plain in John 4 that there was coming, and of course he was saying this before the blood was shed, his blood was shed. We are now in this. But he said the day cometh, and now is that he was said that the true worshipers would worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean? That means that because he was talking to somebody who was trying to discuss with him where to worship, whether it was in the temple or it was on this mountain over here. You know, because God had told the Jews exactly where to worship. Why? Because that's where his presence was. He didn't say go up on a mountain. He said, I'm putting my presence in the Holy of Holies. And you're actually, the feast days are called, there's a certain word in the Greek that, or the Hebrew actually, that talks about naming their feast. And it had, the word had to do with bring your feet and stand on the ground. In other words, come to where my presence is. That the presence in the Old Testament was only in one place. It was in the temple. And this lady in John 4 is asking Jesus, well, do we worship in the temple or do we worship on this mountain? And Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is.
Yes.
When it's not going to be here, you got to go where the presence of God's not going to be in a house or a building. It's not going to be in a mountain or something like that. He said, worship must be done in spirit and in truth. Now, here's what he said. There's in the New Testament, there's a change of order of how to build a spiritual house. It's not a physical house anymore. It is now a spiritual house. But we still must follow divine order.
Yes.
Divine directions.
Yep.
Am I preaching all right?
Yes.
We've got to build according to God's plan. Because God has order for the New Testament praise and worship, just like he had order for the Old Testament praise and worship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Those things were a shadow of things to come. But we're in the light. Amen. We fellowship with God in the Spirit, and we worship under the anointing of the Spirit, not in the flesh. They worship God in the flesh. In other words, without the anointing of the Spirit. David danced before the Lord with all his might. In other words, it wasn't under the power of the might of the Spirit. It was under the might of his own physical flesh. And we could go over and over many things in the Old Testament that prove they didn't worship in the Spirit. They worshiped in the flesh. Now, am I still in the same room as you?
Yes, sir.
So, if you read the account of the building of the tabernacle of the temple, you'll see that God's instructions to them were to show them exactly how to build the house. And the same is true in the New Testament.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
If we're going to experience the house being filled with the glory... Are you still there?
Yes.
Today, if we're going to experience that today, we have to build according to the pattern shown us in the New Testament, just like they built according to the pattern shown to them in the Old Covenant.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
In other words, like for example, in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies had to be, if you read it, Solomon, you can just, let me just give you some verses here. I think these are the right verses. 1 Kings 6. 20 through 23, 28 and 30, you'll find that the whole inner court was, everything was laid over with pure gold.
Yeah.
I mean, every piece of furniture was made out of gold.
Yeah.
The walls were lined with gold.
Yeah. Come on,
Don't think God's bothered by wealth, by the way.
Come on. No.
He demanded that that's where I want to live. And he said, that's the way it's.
Yeah.
My house will be with gold.
Yes.
Doesn't bother him. Wealth doesn't bother him. Amen. He paved streets with it. But he said, this is the way you build this. And you read it in also in Exodus when Moses built the tabernacle. Exodus 25, many verses in that chapter. You'll find the same thing. And so they were to build according to the pattern that was given to them. And the exact dimensions, the exact materials and everything. Now, pure gold is different than gold. But God kept saying, pure gold. In other words, I don't want gold mixed with anything else. Amen. And the day came, if you read in the Old Testament and how the history of Israel came to pass and everything, that because they all did that exactly, Moses and I'm talking about Solomon, they did that exactly like God told them to, with pure gold. But the day came in 1 Kings 7, 48 through 50, 1 Kings 7, 48 through 50, and then in 2 Chronicles 12, 9 through 10. The day came that there was a king from Egypt, which by the way is a type of the world, that came and took all the treasures out of the temple and out of Solomon's house. And it says it took out all the vessels of gold. And it says in those verses that Rehoboam, who's now king after Solomon, Rehoboam replaced the vessels of gold with vessels of brass. Now, what is brass? Brass is an alloy. It's a mixture of, I think, copper and zinc, I think it is. And it's not pure. It's an alloy. But it looks a little like gold. Are you still following me? So he replaced it with something that looks like the real, but it wasn't what God said do. Are you with me? And so the reason was because the king of Egypt came and stole the real. Egypt's a type of the world. Amen. So it's a type of today bringing the plans of the world into the church for worship. You understand what I'm talking about? It's a type of bringing man's plans into, well, this is how we're going to do it. You know, we're modernized and we have so and so. It's a little like David. God told the priest exactly how to carry the Ark of the Covenant. He said, put these staves through here, and there's so many priests and so many trumpets blow and so forth, and you carry the Ark of the Covenant that way.
Right.
And you remember the Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant back whenever David was, this is before the temple was built. The Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant because the glory had been departed. And so they're stealing the Ark of the Covenant. Excuse me, this was before the glory departed. But they stole it. And because of their ignorance, God didn't judge them putting it on an ox cart to carry it off. The Philistines carried it off with an ox cart. And whenever David finally won the war and got it back, he brought it back on an ox cart. But God hadn't told him to do it that way. And it caused judgment to fall on him. And a man died. Why? It wasn't according to divine order. Yeah, but, you know, we have wheels now. I mean, we don't have to carry it. We're modernizing.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, things are different today. You know, we got this, we got that, and, you know, God didn't modernize because we have the wheel now. Same thing true with New Testament praise and worship. It's still to be done in spirit and in truth.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
The worship team is not, they're not performing. We don't clap for them because they did a good job. That gift that they're using came from God. And they're using it to worship God and lead us to direct our attention to God, because they're helping us form a corporate house. And us watching our watch, being on Facebook, is irreverence. It's not in spirit, not in truth, and it keeps the force, it keeps the house from getting full of the glory. We wonder why it's just not getting full. Well, it'd be like in the wintertime, us trying to heat this building, but one whole wall is gone. You can't fill it with heat if a whole wall is gone, and you can't fill a church with the glory if there's half the congregation in the flesh. Sitting there wishing they had stayed home in bed. Counting the lights. Using the restroom. I recognize there are people that, you know, have different situations, and maybe because of medications or something, they need to use the restroom. I realize that. And so hear what I'm getting ready to say with that in mind. I don't ever remember, if I've done it, I'm not saying I've never done it, but I don't remember ever going to the restroom during a church service.
Come on.
Now, I know children are different, you know. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I understand there's different situations, and maybe I'm not in one of those situations. So I'm compassionate on that. But then right on the other hand, we've got to ask ourselves sometimes, I mean, are you still with me this morning or tonight? I'm compassionate. I understand there's different situations. And even medically, I realize there's people that have medical conditions. They can't sit as long, you know, and they're here to receive the word to get healed. I understand. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just simply saying, let's examine whether it's really necessary. You know why I don't go to the restroom during service? It's because I was trained as a child. You use the restroom before you get in the building.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
would get a spanking if I had to use the restroom during church.
Come on.
Because I was trained to reverence what God was doing in the service. And my mama knew that I was going to the restroom during service, or I was begging to go to the restroom during service, because I just wanted to get out. Yeah, and I've had staff come to me and say, there are ushers that are just out there milling around. They're supposed to be a roaming usher, but they're roaming and then staying out just because they don't want to be in here.
Look out there now.
Well, there's a hole in the glory wall. Listen, God is a holy God. And when He wants to visit us, let's be there for the visitation. Let's be there for the visitation. I know this is coming out real strong. I'm not trying to hit anyone. It's just that something happened in my spirit when Pastor Debbie addressed some things at the end of the service on Sunday night. Something happened in my spirit. So we need to maybe suck it up and ask ourselves, are we here really to receive what He has? Do you know where the Lord is? All His power is. Your answer can be, your problem can be fixed like that. Do we esteem that? Do we reverence that? Do we reverence that this is not a ball game? This is a visitation from the King of Kings. So, it was built. One of the things you see that was called for in the Old Testament and in New Testament, part of what it means in spirit and in truth, part of what that means is reverence. And it means to be in unity, or to form an assembly, means to unite together. Like puzzle pieces. I mean, those pieces are going, they're connected. Right? And so when we come to form an assembly, I mean, you build a wall, the two befores are connected. Or if you build it out of brick, they're all cemented together. Or if you build it out of sheetrock, they're all mudded together. When a building goes up, it is connected. Everything's connected. There's no holes, no, you know, windows get filled up with window panes. Everything's sealed. It's all connected. Why? Because we're forming a container to keep in heat and air and, you know, so forth and so on. And we want it to contain what we put in it.
Yes,
that heat, that air. Well, the same thing's true with the glory. We need to assemble and connect.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something that will hinder that. Ephesians 4, verse 29, down through 5, you know, chapter 5, verse 2, talks about really walking in, if you analyze the whole thing and assess the whole thing, it talks about walking in love. Remember it says in Ephesians, let me just read this real quick. Ephesians chapter number four. Look with me at verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be ye therefore followers, that means imitators of God, as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So you could sum this up and say, he's talking about walking in love. He's talking about forgiveness, no anger, no bitterness, no ill will or animosity. You could say no offense, no wrath, no evil speaking. That means talking critically of one another. No unkindness, no hard-heartedness and unforgiveness and so forth. That's just, in a nutshell, he said, and walk in love. That's the love walk. The love of God should have brought in our heart, isn't it? So, to unite together, part of what we have to do is become real good at the love walk. Amen. Amen. Pastor, you're not going to really get on that, are you? Yes. Yes, I'm going to get on it. So bringing He's talking about forming a spiritual house, and here he's saying there's something. Notice what it says there in the end of the beginning of verse number 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, he's saying all these things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, if we're endeavoring to form a house where he inhabits that and moves freely as he wants, we can't do that at the same time as grieve him. I mean, it's just working against the move of the Spirit. Isn't that right? So really, unforgiveness, you know, strife, division, bringing that into the house, really, we're not building according to God's plan, and we're hindering God's plan to fill it with his glory. There's been a number of times, I don't know if I didn't count them, I mean, I'm not sitting around thinking about these kind of things, but I know a number of times where I've come in the back door to preach, maybe Sunday morning or whatever, and as soon as I walk in the building, I tell something isn't right. Uh-huh. Something isn't right. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is, but something isn't right. And the praise and worship's not going right. The sound system's not working right. Everything just not working right. I preach, and it hits the back wall and come back and nails me between the eyes. The anointing's not right. The utterance isn't right. Something isn't right. Time after time after time, because I instruct them, don't talk to me before the service. After the service, someone will come and say, two people, so-and-so and so-and-so, were in strife. They were arguing. Two leaders were fussing. That's happened a number of times. Well, what happened? We couldn't get the glory. We couldn't. The Spirit of God wasn't moving like he normally does. There wasn't liberty in the house. Are you with me? The spiritual atmosphere wasn't right. The utterance wasn't flowing. Amen. I said amen. So, you know, those kinds of times, only eternity will tell us what price somebody sitting in that service paid because two people were in strife. What move of the Spirit did we lose? Do you know what I'm talking about? What miracle, what manifestation of the Spirit, what utterance, what impartation, what anointing was lost because somebody was in strife? Come on now. I don't want to come into dead services anymore. Let's just decide that's over at Spirit of Faith Family Church. I said that's over at Spirit of Faith Family Church. Let's not affect the spiritual atmosphere that way. Amen. Amen. Those people kept a spiritual house from forming so that God couldn't fill it with his glory. Bible says we're envying and strife as there's confusion in every evil work. In other words, this is an open door to the devil. It's like an invitation to him to come on in and bring confusion, hinder the flow of the anointing, hinder the service, hinder what God wanted to do. And he sits back and hideously laughs at us because we're the ones that let him, actually invited him to come do it. I said invited him because he runs to this kind of thing. He runs to strife. He runs to fussing. Where that is, there's confusion in every evil work. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We need to come here for more than just another sermon on how to get healed or get our needs met. We need to start thinking beyond ourselves and have a heart for what God wants to do in this time together in the lives of the people that come. Amen. We need to do whatever it takes to be in unity with every person in this assembly.
Yes, sir.
I said, be in unity. Hallelujah. So God can move in the midst of, like he wants to move. This is about more than just us personally. I said, it's about more than just us personally. Ephesians 4 here says these things grieves the spirit. You see, what we're doing is we're defiling. You read 1 Corinthians and the third chapter is amazing. I mean, it'll bring you to tears if you really meditate on it. How it'll make you so sober about assembling together with other believers. He said, in that passage, he said, any man that defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. Because we're touching something holy.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. I've seen people raise up. I'm thinking of two board members in a church we went to. We preached up in, well, I won't tell the city, but this board member was sick and dying of cancer. And they wanted prayer. They wanted us to pray for them. And so we, you know, dug into it a little bit, found out he had tried to raise up a petition, tried to get the rest of the board and some of the church members to kick out the pastor. He was mad at something, you know, didn't go his way. You know what I'm talking about? And was dying. No, excuse me, that wasn't cancer. That was a heart condition. That I just remembered it was a heart condition. And that man almost died, but thank God he repented. People don't see the connection between those things.
Yeah.
But see, you defile the temple of God. You bring strife and division into the temple of God.
Come on.
And start hindering the flow of the anointing. Either the anointing will bust you and break you out and away from the church, or else, and you'll be removed, or else you'll be removed another way. Somehow that'll get busted.
Yes, it will.
Because that's defiling the temple of God.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough. We don't hear the, and we don't have to preach this side of things all the time. But it's good for us to be sober about these things. We want the best God has for us. This is not like joining a country club. This is not like joining a golf club. This is different. What we bring to this assembly is serious. It's a matter sometimes of life and death. I said, it's a matter sometimes of life and death. We defile the temple of God or grieve the Spirit of God. And he won't manifest himself in that atmosphere. I'll tell you why. Because he's merciful. He's merciful. What do I mean because he's merciful? The reason God removes this corporate anointing sometimes, and he dwells in us all the time. He doesn't leave us. But he removes this corporate anointing sometimes. I just described services where I've seen it happen right here.
Yes, sir.
But sometimes this happens out of mercy, so there's not another Ananias and Sapphira.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want destruction. He's a good God. He's a loving God. But he's also holy. And he knows that if he goes to hugging some group sometimes, there's going to be some zapping sounds. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody or make people say that. I'm just saying God is, yes, he's love, but he's also holy.
Yes,
and
he is.
And his presence will fry sin.
Yes, it will.
It fried lion in Ananias and Sapphira's case. Amen. Now, Ananias and Sapphira could have got away with that if they had just done it down at the bar. Or at the Olympic Games. Back then it was the Greco-Roman Games, but it's the beginning of the Olympic Games we have today, all those centuries ago. But if they'd just been down there at the Greek Games and they'd lied, told somebody, yeah, we gave it all, you know, they would have got away with it.
All right.
The issue was not that they lied, because there's a lot of people lied.
Yes, sir.
But they haven't done it in that kind of anointing.
Yeah.
In that kind of manifest glory. That's where it happened. Anybody still with me this morning or tonight, whenever? Hallelujah. We are to come together. You see, God raises up teachers, preachers, ministers, pastors to wash us with the water of the word.
Yeah.
Ephesians 5:27. Why? So we can be a glorious church. So we can be a glory. What is a glorious church? A church, Ephesians 3 says, with the richest measure of the divine presence.
Yes.
Holy, filled and flooded with God himself.
Yes.
But he gets to the fifth chapter and he says, there's something's got to happen for that to happen.
Yeah.
That is to be washed with the water of the word. In other words, get these things washed out of us. Get these things washed off of us. These fleshly things. This carnality and fussing and strife and so forth. All these things. Get these things out so that, he says it there, with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present us to himself a glorious, glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Now, what is the washing of the water? It's the washing of the water of the word. The word washes these things off so that we can be glorified. So we can have the glory in our services. Amen. I said amen. I mean, just think of Psalm 133. You remember how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And instantly he starts talking about the anointing. Gone from the top to the bottom of Aaron's head down to his skirts of his garment. In other words, the anointing, that was oil types of the anointing. He said, the unity is what produces it. And he said, there the Lord commanded a blessing. There. But you get on the wrong side of that, it'll cause judgment. Amen. We see that in the Bible. So we want to be washed. Tell your neighbor, I want to be washed with the water of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to get washed from some things because we need to be able to handle the kind of manifest glory that we're talking about. I'm talking about beyond what we've had. I'm talking about the kind of glory to where we're pasted to the floor for 3 hours, not even able to move a finger because his holy presence is washing over this congregation like waves of the sea. And nobody's wondering how long is this going to go on, because in his presence there is no time. And when it finally lifts and we can get up, we thought it was 10 minutes, and it was 3 hours. And change. We were changed. This person was freed from that. This person was freed from that. This person got the answer they needed here. This person's marriage was solved. The problems were solved. This person, and things just happened. And we become more of a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More glorified. Greater blessings. When I say greater blessings, I mean a deeper and greater manifestation of his presence. That's what the result is of being washed in the water of the word. Amen. When we mishandle it, the presence of God, by walking in the flesh rather than the spirit, it dissipates that kind of power. Amen. So don't get mad when someone gets to scrubbing on a spot. Why does they keep hitting on that? God, the Holy Ghost, found a spot. And he's scrubbing hard on it. Anybody ever had the Holy Ghost scrub hard on a spot? He wants us to be without spot or wrinkle. Just receive your washing and rejoice in the process of your glorification. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. I said praise the Lord. To me, anything else is too high a price to pay. Not having the glory is not something Listen, can I just be honest with you? If we can't have it here, now we do have it. So don't misunderstand me. But if we're going to stop where we are and not keep going, goodbye. That's not a threat. That's just simply saying, that's how hungry I am for this. That's how hungry I am. I'm not going anywhere. Tell your neighbor. The devil's going somewhere. That's where he's the one getting off, not us. Because we will have it here. This, we're in that process. We're being glorified. We've got our own personal glorification going on so that we can have a glorification corporately. Now, I don't mean we all have to be perfect. You understand that? I'm just simply saying things like I was talking about strife, bringing disunity into the house and so forth and so on. Those things are spots. Amen. That's what really the fivefold ministry really is. That's what we're called to do, to really build up and increase the spiritual house, wash it, cleanse it, and participate in what God's doing in the earth to manifest His glory. Amen. If you're not interested in joining and uniting with other believers in a local fellowship, and you're not interested in the washing process, then you're saying, God, I don't want the glory in my city. That's what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
I don't want the glory in my city. That's maybe not what we thought we were saying to God. But you can see that's really what we're saying to God. Well, tell your neighbor, that's not us though. God's got a plan. New Testament praise and worship, we do it on our own, don't we? But we're to come together and worship God together. And participate in that plan. Participate in the plan of being washed in the water of the Word. Hallelujah. And get washed from these things of the world. Washed from the habits of the flesh. Washed from wrong worldly thinking. And participate in this process, what God's doing in the earth. Because His plan is that we go from glory to glory. That plan started in the new birth. That's the beginning of the glorification process. But apparently from 1 Corinthians 3:18, that's not the whole process. The renewing of the mind, laying aside the flesh, laying aside strife and disunity and not being able to get together with other believers. There are people, I've run into oodles of them in this city. There's oodles of them in every city, so I'm not picking on this city. But oodles of them that God told them to be in this church.
Absolutely. Come on.
Where have they been for the last 5 years?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. Well, they're trying to blow holes in churches. Keep the unity. People go from church to church. And anyway, so hallelujah. A little different tonight, isn't it? His plan is that we come together and be washed. We should be interested in that plan and pursue that plan. Amen. You see, worship is more than just coming to church, raising our hands and saying, praise the Lord. Romans 12:1 says, it's part of worship is presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Which he said is our, King James, reasonable service. The Greek says spiritual worship. It's our work. It's worship. It's worship to bite our tongue and say, I'm not going to fuss and be in division and not follow directions of leadership. That's worship. Because there's something more important to us than our feelings. There's something, we're interested in something bigger than our personal preferences. We're interested in having what God wants to do. Amen. Are you interested?
Yes, sir.
I know you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So maybe we'll just wrap it up with that. There's more. Amen. Let me just read something to you. This issue of reverence. Pastor Debbie was addressing reverence at the end of the service. Is that Sunday night? We need to maybe hear some things about this. We'll see how the Lord leads us, because maybe we'll get into it a little bit more. But let's examine, you know, how much we're getting up and walking around. Let's examine, you know, whether we're on social media or texting somebody that texted us or what we're doing. Let's examine ourselves. Remember the church in Sullivan, Illinois? I was telling you the story about how I was reading those scriptures on the glory, and I looked up and there's the glory just in manifest form over one part of the congregation. And I couldn't talk. A man stood up and fell out just like somebody hit him. And the whole church went silent. But I told you, that church had been real irreverent. They were very, just talking. You could hear a hum during the preaching, people talking. Young people, very irreverent. Even older people. And a lot of just distractions and people moving around and walking around. And there was actually a main auditorium, and then they had opened up. They had been growing, and they opened up a side. They had like a curtain that they opened up for another section off to the side, and that section was twice as bad as this section. Just a lot of people over there standing around in the back talking while I'm preaching, you know. That's the kind of atmosphere that glory showed up in. Somebody said, well, why did it show up without that unity and so forth? It wasn't because of them. It was because of my obedience to tell them, God wants some changes in this house. That's really where I was going. And so God, rather than me tell him, he told him. He manifested himself and straightened that out. And the whole church got quiet. And within minutes, people are starting to weep and repent and coming to the altar and repenting and for their irreverence and disrespect and casualness. Say casualness. See, that's what's gotten into the modern day church. Just this is like a ball game or something. We're just casual. No, it's not a ball game. And they got some things right. I don't remember how long it was. Maybe I'm estimating maybe about a half hour there. My mind is saying, because I knew what God was doing, but my mind was saying, yeah, but Lord, this is going to have to turn to joy sometime here soon, because in your presence is fullness of joy. But there's another side of this. This presence can come in and say, repent. I've been there before. And so, but it did. Eventually it changed, and people started laughing and rejoicing. And then the fire of God hit that whole bunch. And 80 people, we had a testimony meeting the next night. 80 people instantly healed without me laying hands. Maybe I laid hands on one of them. But just the presence of God. See, whenever the corporate anointing manifests, you don't need hands laid on you. It's just in the atmosphere. You just take it. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. And people, person after person, that next night, because it was a series of meetings, they gave their testimony of healing, and they were rejoicing that God had moved and straightened out their thinking about church services. It was wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I want to read something to close that the Lord's been saying to my heart. I would say it came to me by the Spirit. It kind of got started on hearing some things a minister was saying, but the Lord started talking to me and I wrote it down. And it was just in my home. So I wrote it, or, you know, I spoke it into my computer is what I did, and edited it because this thing's still learning my voice. To make, you know, I got it like the Lord was saying it. And he said this. Let me see if I find the beginning of it here. From now on, your appetite for the manifest presence of God is going to grow stronger and stronger. And the gravitational pull of earthly things upon your soul is going to grow weaker and weaker. You're going to begin to lose the appetite for natural things. The things of the unseen will begin to capture you and pull your attention more and more into their orbit. The gravitational pull of earthly things will lose their hold, and life will begin to revolve around the glory of the Father as the angels in heaven revolve around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And from one degree to another degree, and from glory to glory, you will be transformed into a thing unrecognizable in this present hour. Things you once held tightly to and counted dear, you will let go of. Not out of religious duty, but because your reach and your desire will be for the Lord of glory. More and more the glory will be revealed unto you, and the knowledge of the glory will come to you as if a veil were being rolled back from before your very eyes, so that you can see it. and the glory of the Lord will shine into your heart with greater and greater intensity, so that it even radiates from your face and your very being. It's coming on somebody in live stream right now where you're sitting. While I'm saying this, by the spirit of prophecy, there's an anointing falling on somebody in live stream right now, and you're being freed from a bondage. More and more between now and the return of Jesus, your appetite for the things of this earth is going to wane. As he prepares us to be presented to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Glory is going to remove earthly bondage as easily as a snowball melts away to nothing in the glow of the hot summer sunshine. For the Master, the Lord of glory, will become everything to you. That's what the Spirit said. Hallelujah. This is called the transformed life. Transformed. It happens, yes, through the renewing of the mind. But it happens by times in his presence experiencing his manifest glory. I've come out of those times and for weeks went totally uninterested in any recreation I enjoy. Any appetites of the flesh, I didn't even have to fight it because I had been in the glory. Amen? And the Lord's saying, between now and Jesus coming back, you're going to experience more and more of that. Natural things aren't going to count to you like they once did. It doesn't mean it's wrong to have natural things. It's just that you have found him to be more valuable than all that he can give. He's the one that you really long for. The Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Did you feel that come in when I read that? Lift your hands in that glory. That's in the atmosphere right around you right now. Hallelujah. Your flesh might be saying, but I don't want to lay aside this or that. Listen, you don't have to try to fight the appetites of the flesh. Just simply spend time in his presence. More and more. Hallelujah. Father, we raise our hands in reverence to you. You're working in lives all across this room right now as we speak. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for shining the light of the glory of God into their heart and into their very being. Sanctifying, separating, drawing them unto you. In the name of Jesus, for you are the Lord of glory. And all that they really want, all that they really desire, is found in you. Lord, reveal that to them right now where they're seated. In the name of Jesus. I speak to bondages and habits in this glory, this presence that's here right now. I break your power over their lives. Now, if you needed that, just receive it wherever you are. I need somebody on the piano if they could. Just receive that wherever you are. You've been bound by certain things. Somebody's being delivered of cigarettes. I don't know who they are. Maybe they're in here. They might be in here right now. That cigarette bondage is gone. You will leave this place and you won't even desire a cigarette. Before you couldn't, you tried, you couldn't lay them down. But leaving this place tonight, you will never even desire one again. I say that under the anointing of the Spirit. Somebody's being set free from cigarettes. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All across this room, thank you that it's working, Lord, right now. Working right now. Working right now. Working. Worship him out of your spirit. Worship him out of your heart. Worship him for doing what you've not been able to do. Thank you, Father. 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 In Jesus' name. Stand with me. Raise up your hands and begin to lift your voice in thanks to him. Hallelujah. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Like a wave. Yes, like a wave. Like a wave. Like a wave sweeping through this building. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Changed. Some things are changed this very moment. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We're free. We're free. We're free. We're freed. We're freed by the presence of that anointing. Thank you for it, Lord. 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 I see that, Father. I see that couple. They've been in much strife in their home, much, much fussing. But, Father, in this presence right now, the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you. Changed, changed, changed into your image from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm glad I came tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. 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 That oppression, yeah, on that person's mind leaves tonight. Leaves right now. That oppression goes from them tonight. I command you, Satan, take your hands off their mind. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's just a whole lot of... How many of you know the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty? Just a whole lot of liberty in the room. If you need liberty, just reach up. Take it. Say, I take it. I take my liberty. I take my freedom. I take my freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm free from that bondage. I'm free from that habit. I'm free from that rut. I'm free from that that oppression. I'm free from that strife. I'm free from that sickness. I'm free. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. 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 You have to yield to it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, 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 thank you. In the name, in the name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. The yoke is destroyed tonight because of the anointing. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank 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 you, Lord Jesus. Say it out loud. The anointing destroys the yoke. In the name of Jesus. Ha ha ha. The anointing destroys the yoke. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. In the name of Jesus. Now just give God a shout. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Woo, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Who's been having a pain in your left shoulder? It's kind of like back there where the shoulder blade is, right at the edge of the shoulder blade. Who's been having that pain right on the left shoulder? Two people? Three people? Raise up your hand right where you are. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that power. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. What we want to learn is that in this kind of atmosphere, what you need is just you can just reach up and say, I'll take it. It's mine. It's just in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Come up here, Mary. Come up here. Just had a prompting. She didn't have the procedure because they went in there and they said, we had a false report. That wasn't so. Yeah. I don't know if they can hear. Here, bring a microphone. Let me let you tell them. Whoop. There you go. Turn that on.
The heart doctor said there was a little residual where they thought there was a blockage, and I know God took care of
he
that.
He took
blockage.
Care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and the doctor, he smiled because he's Dave's heart doctor too. He says, we don't need to do nothing to him.
Hallelujah. Whatever night it was during the conference, I had that come up in my spirit, but I didn't say anything. So I might have missed it, but you got it anyway. You got it anyway. Ha ha ha. Amen. I don't think it was a false positive or whatever. I think that they saw one thing at one time, and then the next time it wasn't there is what happened. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen, amen, amen. Glory! 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 Praise God. Woo! Shoot! 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 Woo! Woo! Glory! 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 Woo, glory be to God. Glory be to God. My, my, my. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, did you get what you came for? Did you reach up and take it? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
In the glory, there is freedom. In the glory, there is light. In the glory, there is direction. In the glory, bondages do take flight. In His presence, there is glory unspeakable, all full of glory. In His presence, there is help for you and for me. In the glory, in the glory, in the glory, there is freedom. In the glory, there is light. In the glory, there is direction, and bondages do take flight. In His presence, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. In His presence, there is help for you and for me. In the glory, in the glory. Come on, sing it with me. In the glory, there is freedom. In the glory, there is light. In the glory, there is direction, and bondages do take flight. Sing that again. In the glory, there is freedom. In the glory, there is light. In the glory, there is direction, and all bondage does take flight. Sing it again. In the glory, there is freedom. In the glory, there is light. In the glory, there is direction, and all bondage does take flight. Oh, in His presence is joy unspeakable and full of glory. In His presence, there is help for you and for me. In His presence, there is joy unspeakable and full of the glory. In His presence, there is help for you and for me. In the glory, oh yeah, in the glory, in the glory. Lift your hands in the glory. Lift your voices in the glory. Oh, in the glory, there is change. There is change. There is change in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the glory is actually fullness of everything you desire in your heart. Amen. Glory to God.